I'm suspicious. That's great.
Don't be suspicious.
No justice, no peace.
No racist police. Welcome to Mr. Reticle, where we take a theoretical approach to solving mysteries. So pasteurize your yogurt and join us for this week's Mr. Reticle, the murder of Gunther Stoll. I'm trying not to be tired. I gotta shake it off.
Shake it off. Shake it off.
Oh, that feels good.
Children are still obsessed with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Anytime I ask, like, what's your favorite? Because I'll be playing, like, Freeze Dance or some dumb game, and I'll be like, what's your favorite the artist? And a lot of them never have one, and the rest are like, Taylor Swift!
Yeah, that's crazy to me. Taylor Swift's, like, 40 now, isn't she?
No. She's still younger than I.
But, like, you'd think that they would say, like, oh, Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
She's relevant anymore. Sorry. Haven't heard about her in a while.
I just saw her in a movie trailer, actually.
Oh,
Timothy Chalamet.
I waited on her once in Chili's.
Really?
Yeah.
She seems cute. I like Demi Lovato. I'm a Demi Lovato fan.
Oh.
For sure. I think she's a beast.
Oh, Ariana Grande. Like, you'd think that they would say her, too. Mm-hmm. Not Taylor Swift. Like, Taylor Swift.
She's like second, probably, is Ariana Grande.
Yeah. I do like Ariana Grande.
I had one kid. One girl was like, this was years ago, but one girl was like, Katy Perry. And the other one was like, Taylor Swift. And then one girl goes, Santana. And I was like,
oh my God.
Like, yeah. Who are your parents? Because they're really cool.
Metallica.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. I wonder what my niece's is, because I know my sister like is obsessed with Nirvana, so I'm like, you must listen to, like, and they've gone to like Blue Man Group concerts and whatever. Yeah. So I'm like, I wonder who my niece listens. I don't know, like, if she's like
what she would consider her favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know that all they listen to is that like 90s rock.
Yeah.
I like everything
but country. I can't do country. It's like, country to me is like nails on a chalkboard. It's like,
I can't, a bunny screaming.
Yeah, I can't deal with it. I can't. And all I do is whine in the country songs. That's all it is. Except for like Dixie Chicks, where they kill their husband for beating them.
Yeah. There's like a few, because my mom listened to country, but she listened to like Willie Nelson and like Bonnie, like old country, which I'm not against.
I think
that's fine.
I think it's like a different genre of country, because like
I like Carrie Underwood.
She's
pop. Right?
Yeah, she's like pop country. Like Taylor Swift started all this country or whatever.
Right.
Country.
With her fairy dress and her cowboy boots and her guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I listen to everything. I have like ADD with genres. So I'll play a whole song. I'm not like a skipper, but my genres and my playlists are really random.
Yeah.
Like, I could be listening to Kelly Clarkson, who I love, and then it'll jump to, like, Sam Cooke, and then it'll be, like, Frank Sinatra, and then it'll be Prince, and I'll be like, I'm so sorry. And then it'll be, like, Chance the Rapper. I'll be like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, mine are like that, too. Like they everything. Jump around.
Yeah.
So I do have a disclaimer. I lied on the Boston art heist thing about my uncle being a cop in Boston. I don't know what he does or what he did. That's a mystery in itself, but my sister corrected me last night on the phone.
Ooh.
She was like, he wasn't a cop unless I don't know something. And I was like, oh, okay.
Is it like, I have like my dad has this like really rich cousin that if he told us what he did, he'd have to kill us.
And he
studied like nuclear physics, so you could piece that together how you will.
Yeah, the atom bomb. He's working with nuclear missiles in Russia.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Your uncle was part of Whitey Bulger's gang.
Yeah, what if he was? I mean, I'm sure I could call him up and ask him, but that's a lot of work.
It requires like picking up the phone that's always in your hand.
I don't do phone calls either. I'm not a big phone person. I'm more of a texter, email, I mean, anything like that. I just feel like sometimes I will pick up the phone and call, but.
I do with certain people, but not with everybody. It's like very specific. I talk to my sister a lot on the phone.
Yeah. I'll talk to my sister. I'll talk to David, but that's about it.
Yeah. And I'll talk to like two of my best friends, but they don't live here. You know what I mean? Like that's our one way of talking. And other right. than that, if you call me, I'm not going to. If you right. called me, I would answer because I'd be like, someone's dying.
Yeah, someone's dead. Something's happening. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to. I know how I feel whenever I see the phone ringing. I'm like, oh my God. Like I'll freeze and stare at it for a minute.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Try and figure it out and stuff. And
you
then
saw
I'm
me
like,
with that Amazon guy that knocked on my door.
Yeah. Don't trust anyone. So I don't know how to say the name of this town. Like it's a super small town in Germany is where our mystery takes place today. I want to say it's Anshausen, Germany. Anshausen.
Your aunt's house.
But honestly, like it could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
I did start doing German on Duolingo.
Yeah.
Just for I mean, my family is Austrian, so they speak German anyway, but.
Yeah, I started it because I was going to go to the Germany, Austria area where they have the Christmas markets. We were going to go a couple years ago, but then I moved to California. Or a year, I don't remember. Time is so weird. And then we were like, we'll do it next year, but obviously it's Corona this year, so
right.
not happening. Well, maybe one day.
Germany's cool. Austria is gorgeous.
Yeah. I really want to go to Vienna.
I haven't been to Vienna.
One of my favorite books is based in Vienna. And I like just the way that they talk about it and stuff. I just wanted to go and see.
Yeah. Plug it. Plug it. Yeah. What book?
Oh, it's called The Hotel New Hampshire by John Irving.
Oh.
I love John Irving. He's a great author. Great writer.
I don't think I've ever read his stuff, but I think I've heard of that.
I highly recommend it. You might like it.
Probably.
So Anshausen is a district of the municipality of Wilnsdorf. Wilnsdorf, maybe?
I was going to say, is it a W? It's probably a V.
I found very little information on the American internet about both of these places. So I'm sure that there's a lot of information if I were to go Google it in Germany and if I understood the German language.
I was going to say, did you try the German internet?
I did find the German Wikipedia page for Anshausen, which is where I got some of this information from. And I Google translated it. But of course, like whenever you Google translate, it's like the pig drove the car. And yeah, what? It doesn't even make sense. And what is a pig doing in a car? Like, those two don't go together.
What is Germany's thing? .de?
Oh, I don't know. I think it is .de because it had a .de somewhere. I saw a .de somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. It still said like Wikipedia.com to me, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I could change my VPN to be in Germany and then maybe Google Translate the pages.
Well, because if you look up like when I was doing all the Canadian ones, I would put wikipedia.ca because it's Canada's.
Yeah.
So I think if you figure out what Germany's knees, like what theirs is, I think it's DE because it's Deutschland.
Deutschland, yeah. Okay.
For next time.
Yeah, next time I have a German case, although this is might be my last German case for a little bit because we just did the family that went missing.
We're learning a lot about Germany.
Yeah.
They have some crazy crimes. Crazy crimes.
Yeah, I won't stop doing international though. I love the international ones.
Yeah, same.
So much. So Anshausen is just north of Frankfurt. It's a very wooded region in the Rothaar Mountains. And I Googled some photos and it is very pretty. It's
I
like
bet.
Very mount Like, there's mountains everywhere. They're tree-covered mountains.
Ooh.
And, like, lots of hills. Like, it's definitely not level there. And you saw all these little cottages and stuff and, like, little houses. They were cute.
Aw, cute.
In 2016, it had a population of 1,300 people. So it's, like, super small.
Yeah.
Rural. It started as a mining community around 1818. And there were two major stories that came from this city. The one is the one we're talking about today. And the other one was Carl Klein, who was a theologian. Theologian? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think is correct.
And he was like a priest or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what he did. I'm sure he made some significant contribution to his practice. And that's why he was noted on the Wikipedia page.
Probably.
So let's go into some of the facts that I know about Günther.
Günther.
Günther was normally mild-mannered. He was an unemployed food engineer, and he just recently lost his job. So food engineering is the application of engineering principles to the storage, processing, and distribution of food materials and their bioproducts.
So that sounds like something you put on your resume to make it sound like you do more.
Right, you elaborate on it. Right, so basically it's chemistry and food science. And food engineers design aspects of the processing, handling, packaging, and storage equipment and systems, scale up of prototype food processes, machinery and equipment, product and process research and development, regulation and protection of the public health and engineering and the technical sales.
I feel like they're the people that make hot dogs.
Yeah, they are. They're like, oh, what's this? Just waste? Throw it in a wiener sausage this covering is a- and...
In an intestine.
Yeah.
There's this, this is terrible. I was at, back when I ate meat, I was at Franz's mom's house and I was making a sandwich and they just had like packaged bologna or whatever, which what's in bologna? I don't even want to know, but
yeah.
And the first words on like the ingredient, list was mechanically separated beef.
Yeah.
And I went, ugh! And then it was like mechanically separated pork. And I was like, so you don't even, first of all, you don't even know what you are. Second,
yeah.
Mechanically separated. I don't want to see that on any type of food ever again.
No.
Ugh. So you just shoved it in a blender is what you did. That's okay. That's
right.
Lovely.
So Günther was a food engineer, and this mystery takes place in the 80s. So that's when he was a food engineer, was in the 80s. So what I decided to do was look up some notable food engineering achievements from the 80s.
Cool.
So there is process modeling software.
Okay.
Recombinant DNA technology. Multiply carton for hot fill shelf-stable juices. Supercritical CO2 extraction.
Is it critical?
Yeah, it's super critical. It's not just critical. Aseptic plastic cup packaging system. Aseptic low acid particulate process. Robotic packaging and handling equipment. So that's one that we know.
Okay, that's fine.
Genetically engineered enzymes, proteins, and yeasts. And genetically engineered food crops.
I'm really happy that I don't eat meat.
Yeah. I mean, this is also.
Yeah, like, it's everything.
Everything. I mean, food crops. That's plants. Günther also had clinical paranoia.
Me too. So, is there. Okay, I guess mine's not clinical, but it's paranoia. Was that the achievements in Germany or is that the achievements?
Oh, that's everywhere.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I was going to say, I feel like Europe has much better rules about food than
America? I think they do. This was just anywhere in the 80s.
Okay.
I didn't like specify because it would just, I tried to specify Germany, but it just came back in German and I just wasn't dealing with that. I couldn't handle that. Günther was diagnosed with clinical paranoia. Paranoia is an instinct or thought process which is believed to be heavily influenced by anxiety or fear, often to the point of delusion or irrationality. It's a rare mental health condition in which you believe that others are unfair, lying, or actively trying to harm you when there's no proof.
Oh, I'm just paranoid about murderers, so I'm normal. Okay.
Yeah. You don't think that you're paranoid at all because you feel so sure that it's true. Paranoia may be the symptom of a number of conditions, including paranoid personality disorder, delusional paranoid disorder, and schizophrenia. The cause of paranoia is unknown, but genetics are thought to play a role. And I did want to like make that note that a lot of the times when people think of paranoia, they automatically will identify it with schizophrenia, like a paranoid schizophrenic.
Right.
And it's not often the case where someone has schizophrenia and they're, someone has paranoia and they're schizophrenic, you know?
Yeah. I feel like that would be a separate diagnosis, right. Wouldn't it?
Like, yeah, definitely. Like I have anxiety. And so paranoia is a symptom of that, you know? Right. So there's a bunch of different things that go into that. Doesn't necessarily mean that he was like off the walls,
right,
or anything.
Right.
In the 1980s, paranoid personality disorder received very little attention. And when it did receive it, the focus was on the potential relationship to paranoid schizophrenia. Hmm. The image of mental illness in the public mind is shaped mostly by the highly visible, chronically mentally ill who suffer from significant impairments and are often upsetting or even frightening to the public who encounter them. So like if a homeless person is yelling on the streets or something.
And yeah.
Now, while the population of chronically mentally ill is estimated to be no more than 1% of the total population, they constitute an enormous burden on the community and a serious challenge to social policy.
Who cares?
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Take care of them. What are you doing?
We should, yeah. Or like find a, I mean, because there were institutions and everything in the 80s and or 50s, 60s, 70s.
Well,
and
look
stuff.
At the institutions.
And they didn't do
like,
very well.
They were all terrible. Even
but
back
we
to like
up,
Bedlam, it's terrible.
Right, we need to come up with like something different.
Yeah.
Where they can be safe and happy in a way that isn't.
I wonder if like an assist, instead of like an asylum, if like an assisted living type situation would be best.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Something along those lines, but some like where the doctors aren't American Horror Story.
Well, yeah, of course. And no lobotomies and shit. And not just shoving them full of pills, but like
right.
trying to help them be able to live
as normal a life, or at least
as normal a life as they can. You know, some people that don't need as much supervision just have them on call, and people that need them for like everyday things have somebody like living with them. But
I tried to look up like how they treated mental health in Germany in the 80s, but I couldn't find anything.
I found it's shameful.
Yeah, I know, especially So in America, between the 50s and the 80s, they started closing the mental health institutions and not caring for as many patients. The goal of the deinstitutionalization was to improve the treatment and the quality of life for the mentally ill. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it did the opposite, and we just threw them out on the streets instead. So Gunther, some of his characteristics, I guess, of his paranoia, he occasionally spoke to his wife of them, quote unquote, them. They were unknown people who intended to harm him. He became convinced that he was being followed and constantly watched by figures. He wasn't able to describe their faces or understand who they were to his wife, but he was convinced that they were a sinister force that were out to get him and meant him harm. His wife just chalked it up to the stress from him losing his job because he was just recently unemployed, but it became a bit much for her, obviously. So, yeah. Stress does increase your like paranoia tendencies and stuff. It's a huge contribution to that. So I can see that increasing as he's losing his job and his financial like stability is a little wavered.
Absolutely.
So his wife was beginning to become a little bit more concerned about his illness just before his death and started to seek outside help. He was afraid to even leave the house, like just before his disappearance. He was afraid to leave the house out of fear that the strangers that were out there were waiting for him.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Let's go into the night of, or the day of October 25th, 1984. It was a normal day for them. In the evening, he was with his wife at their home, and he mentioned them again to his wife. He was like sitting peacefully in his chair. And then out of nowhere, he said, "Jetzt geht mir ein Licht auf."
That's beautiful.
which translates to English as now the light goes on to me, or what it means is now I see the light. Hmm. Now I understand is what he was trying to say, or that's what it would have meant. Now I understand. He then immediately wrote down YOG'TZE. The G could be a six, not a G. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Immediately after he wrote that down, he crossed it out and then left the house. So he at 11 p.m., he went to his favorite pub in Wilmsdorf. I don't have the name of the pub or how far away from his house it was. I'm assuming because it was his favorite pub. He frequented there and it wasn't super far away from his town.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone in there did know him and see him. They recognized him and stuff. He ordered a beer, and then immediately after he ordered the beer, he was going to sip it and he fell on the ground and injured his face. So he hadn't even had a sip of his beer yet.
Wow.
And all of the witnesses claimed that he was not under influence of alcohol, and he lost consciousness after he fell. So he was on the ground, and people were like, what just happened?
I would think that he died.
Yeah, I'd be concerned.
Yeah.
So they're checking on him and stuff. He wasn't under the influence of alcohol when he came into the bar. He was sober and looked sober, acted sober, wasn't slurring his speech or anything, wasn't even acting out of his paranoia tendencies. He wasn't talking about them or.
Yeah.
He was just there. Was about to take a sip of his drink, and then he just, boom, lost consciousness, fell, hit his head.
Narcoleptic.
Yeah. And then he awoke a short while later and drove away in his VW Golf. Volkswagen.
Yeah.
He was anxious.
Volkswagen?
Volkswagen.
How do they say it?
I don't know. VV?
Yeah, Volkswagen.
He was anxious and distressed about something when he left, but no one.
I mean, you just passed out on your face for no reason. I would also be anxious.
I also don't know that I would necessarily want him to leave,
or
I would
drive.
Right.
Yeah.
But he did. He left, and they were like, "Okay." So the next 2 hours after the next 2 hours after that are a complete mystery. Nobody knows where he went or what he was doing. So now we're at 1 a.m. on October 26th, 1984.
Okay.
Gunther traveled to, God damn it, Heigerselbach.
Heigerselbach.
It's about six miles down the road.
From the pub?
From the area of the pub, yeah. Okay. It's about 6 miles away from there, at 10 kilometers.
Okay.
Which is interesting because he was gone for, he was like, what happened between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m.? Where was he?
I passed out somewhere.
Yeah. So he went to the town where he grew up, which was whatever the team was.
That word you just said.
Yeah, that word I just said. Just copy and paste that over here.
Sound so wrong. It sounds so weird when I do that.
Yeah, yeah, don't do it. Do it, though. He spoke with a former neighbor from his childhood. He went up to the door, knocked on the door, and she was a bit put off by the late hour, but his knocking was so insistent that she went down and checked, and it was Gunther, and she was like, what is happening? You know? She was put off by the late hour, and he was talking to her, and she was being nice because, I mean, it was her former neighbor and she knows his parents. His parents live in the town and stuff.
Yeah.
So she's listening to him, and he's just going on this rant. Mm-hmm. And then he says, he starts talking about a forthcoming horrible accident that's about to happen, or horrible incident that's about to happen. So she listened, she heard him out, and then she advised him to either go home or go to his parents and talk to them.
Yeah.
And so he, he didn't argue too much with her. He was like, okay. And then he left.
Logical suggestions.
Yeah. So the next 2 hours, another 2 hours again, are a mystery. No one knows where he was or where he went.
That's so bizarre.
or what happened or anything. So this is like 4 hours overnight so far that like we don't have any account for him or what he was doing or who he was seeing. At 3 a.m., a pair of truck drivers came upon a single car accident. It was one car involved, not two. So the car drove, was badly damaged in a ditch somewhere along the Autobahn A45. Mm-hmm. And it was 60 miles from Heigerseelbach. So it's 60 miles from his neighbor's house, from the childhood neighbor's house.
I think any car that crashes off the Autobahn is like highly damaged because the speed limit is like 120.
Yeah. Well,
if there even
so
is
I don't know if this is, so I don't know if Autobahn is a highway, like if they just call Autobahns highways. And the Autobahn is something that Americans think of because it is the one where it has no speed limit. So I think that
I've been
this
on
is
it.
Like one of the Autobahns.
But I think...
I don't know for sure.
German listeners, please correct us.
Yeah.
I know you exist, or at least one of you does.
Yeah. Half of you? Like a half person?
Yeah, it's like less than 1%.
Yeah.
I feel like they're all... You know what? I do have a friend that's listening to this that did live in Germany, so she could tell us. But I wonder if they're all, like, if just all highways. I think that's a common
thing. Oh, have no speed
I think
limit.
It's a common thing in Germany for the speed limits to be that high.
Because, like, I always hear of it as the Autobahn.
I do too, but I think it's, I think that's just normal there.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know. Correct us.
Yeah.
German living. People.
You're welcome to correct us.
Please.
So it was 60 miles away from where his neighbor was, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the drivers, so that, I mean, okay, so it takes about an hour to get there. So if he's driving by himself or whatever, that still leaves an hour of like, where was he or what was he doing? So both, one of the truck drivers went to a roadside emergency phone, which was probably like right up the road, like a mile away or something like that. Like usually they have one every mile or so, every other mile. The other driver did a cursory examination of the car. Later on, after the police come, both truck drivers testified separately to seeing an injured person in a white jacket walking around the car as they were pulling up.
Yeah.
This person was never identified, and he disappeared sometime between the discovery of the car and the emergency call that the truck driver made. So he just vanished.
But the other truck driver was at the car?
So I think that what happened was he was probably off in a ditch, you know, maybe, I don't know, distance very well. Let's say 50 feet. 25 feet from the road, right? So you see this car.
5,270, that's a mile.
So you see this car and you're like, okay, let's go check on him and see what's happening. I'm going to go drive up and call the police to alert them of an accident. You just walk over there. So like they're coming up with this plan. And I guess like while they're coming up with this plan, this guy disappears, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a person in a white jacket walking around the car. He was never identified, and he disappeared between the discovery of the car and the emergency call. Another witness later claimed, like after this was published in the newspaper and stuff, another witness claimed to have seen a hitchhiker in the area around the same time. Okay. Gunther was also found. He was badly injured, but he was conscious, and he was also naked when they found him. And he was stained with leaves and dirt. So like all over his body, just covered in dirt and leaves.
Yeah.
He was badly injured, but he was conscious. He mentioned four other male passengers. He asked where they were. He claimed they beat him and abandoned him, and they ran away after the wreck. So the truck driver said, well, were they like, was it your friends? Were they driving with you? Basically just saying like, were you friendly with them?
Yeah.
And Gunther said, no, they were not my friends.
So wait, who found him?
The truck driver.
Where?
In the car.
Oh, okay.
He was in the passenger seat of the car.
Okay.
So here's his VW Golf wrecked, right? Like right off the Autobahn. A man is walking around the car and then disappears as they're coming up with their plan. Mm-hmm. one of the truck driver goes to call for the emergency help, and then the other truck driver goes over and like is walking around the car and sees Gunther. So he walks up to Gunther in the passenger seat and says, like, whoa, what's going on, buddy?
He
notices he's naked, covered in dirt and leaves, and says, hey, and Gunther starts ranting about these four people, and he says, well, were they your friends? And he was like, no. So then the police arrive, and Gunther dies on the way to the hospital.
Ugh.
Yeah. So the investigation, in a bizarre twist of events, the investigation showed that Gunther was injured before the crash. So it's likely that he was hit by a car elsewhere.
Ooh.
Because his cause of death was officially ruled as vehicular manslaughter.
Right.
It was not Gunther's VW Golf that hit him. So we know that there's a second car involved.
Yes.
He was then driven to the location where he was discovered and left positioned in the passenger seat of his car and left to die. It was concluded that when he was injured, he was already naked as well.
Okay.
So not only was he not injured in the accident, he was naked when he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And likely hit by a car. Other drivers reported seeing a hitchhiker at the Hugensud exit off the A45. I don't know how far away from the scene it is, but the hitchhiker there was never identified.
Right.
And this is 84, so, I mean, hitchhiking is just, like, it's phasing. Well, it was already phasing out, you know? People were doing it, but I think that it was still, like, in small towns or small, like, rural areas.
Yeah.
You probably felt safe to do it still.
Because it was big in the 60s and 70s.
Right. So I think like you're just hitting the tail end of it, and it's probably still like, it's definitely still declining, but it's probably still there.
Yeah.
Experts did conclude that Gunther's death came from being hit by another car, which I've already mentioned, mm-hmm. and after the impact, he was placed in the passenger seat. So now, like, that's all that we know about Gunther. Now we have like a couple of different mysteries involved in this, not only with his death, like, and are people actually following him? What was the note about? And then of course, like, what did the police actually say happened, you know? So we'll start with what the police say. They believe that, of course, that he was suffering from paranoia. That was obvious, but I feel like, especially in the 80s, they hear, oh, mental health issues. That's what it was. And they like write it off, you know, they just chalk it all up to that. But it became, so they think that his paranoia came to a peak that night and the events played out as they did. There was no mystery involved. He lost control of his car and could have even had a panic attack or something of that nature.
Right.
He then undressed and ran naked into the road, still like saying that that was, like, that he was at a breaking point with his mental health.
Yeah.
And that he undressed, ran into the road, was hit by a car, and the occupants were, like, so nervous about, like, oh, we just hit this guy. We don't know what he was doing or why the fuck he was naked. So they put him back in his car and left him to die.
Ugh.
They also say the note, just like the note that he wrote, YOGTZE, was just like all the other oddities of the behavior of Gunther. It was part of the mental disorder that caused the death.
Right.
So I don't think that they really looked for who hit Gunther or anything like that. They probably just wrote it off, you know? So now let's look into the note. What was the real meaning of YOG TZE? Because it was never determined. And it could be the key to breaking the entire investigation.
Is it Yahtzee?
And that's what I kept saying or kept thinking it was.
Yeah.
Like, when I first saw this, I was like, Yahtzee. but a lot of other people say that it was a psychic premonition. Mm-hmm. That YOGTZE was the license plate number of the car that would later kill him. And rather than it being an O, it may have been a 0. And the Z could be a 2. And the G could be a 6. So police did search, allegedly, they searched and found no license plate numbers in any combination with those letters, numbers, anything.
Yeah. In German license plates or in other countries too?
I think, I don't know. I mean, this is the 80s. I don't know if they had like an international, not international.
Database. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
it's international. I know here we have states, so it's not. Yeah. But there it's countries, so it is. It's international.
Yeah. It's all Europe.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they had like, because I mean, it's in the northwestern portion of Germany is this town. And so it is close to Belgium. It is close to other countries.
Maybe I want to say there.
The French border too.
Yeah. It's like Germany, Belgium's like here, and then French.
French.
That's what I almost
There's said. Another one above Germany. Is that Austria?
No, Austria's down.
Hold on.
As we learned about Iceland, I honestly don't really Netherlands. Know. I should know. I've been there. Yeah.
It's the Netherlands.
That's what I was going to guess. Because Austria is down on the south. It's by Hungary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which don't ask me where Hungary is, but I know where Austria is.
He's not far from those. So maybe it was like another car that had traveled over and was for some reason they were in rural Germany rather than going to all of the other cities that were like right there.
But maybe they were visiting, you know what I mean? It could have been family or friends or like traveling from one place to another. We went through, when I was younger and we went to Europe, we would go through some really rural areas because we were driving.
Yeah.
We started in Germany and did Frankfurt and stuff. And then we drove through, I might have been there. We drove through, like up north through Belgium from the Frankfurt area and then into France and drove around northern France and then cut across and went all the way down to Austria. So there was definitely places where it was just like either fields of flowers or houses or
Okay. Another interpretation of the note could be that it was an anagram of the word zygote. I mean, all of the letters are there.
Yeah.
Zygote is a diploid cell after fertilization. It's not diploid, but whatever. Perhaps he stumbled upon a secret involving genetically modified organisms. Zygote originates from an ancient Greek word that means joined. The zygote forms from a pair of gametes, which are male and female reproductive cells.
When you said deploys, it makes me think of like sperm.
Launched.
like sperm if they were soldiers.
Right.
I'm getting deployed today.
I'm getting deployed today. It's time, Mary. Like his wife or something? Is that who he's talking to? His girlfriend?
Is the sperm non-gender conforming?
I mean, I don't know. We don't know.
Boyfriend and girlfriend sperms?
Yeah. Or boyfriend and boyfriend. Maybe his name is Mary. Maybe he's gender neutral.
Maybe.
It contains genetic information from each gamete to create a new individual. Is what
I have a fun scientific fact that a student taught me. So when you're becoming a thing,
yeah,
a living thing, a plant, I think plants and animals too, because she took like zoology or something. But
gross.
We're all formed, like there's certain types of like ways that things are formed. And one is mouth first and the other is butthole first. And guess which one humans are?
Butthole first.
We're all buttholes.
Wow.
We all start forming from
our butthole.
Yep. And there you go. There's your science for the day.
I love it. Okay, so let's go into the next theory about this note is that yogurt. This is the yogurt theory. So it could also be a symbol of yogurt. TZE is a flavoring that is often used in yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe YOG meant nothing, like it was already on the paper or whatever, and he just wrote TZE on the note card.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the yogurt theory. I don't know anything else about it. So I guess like if he was like working in something, YOG could be yogurt.
Yeah.
Yog TZE.
But what is yogurt?
Yogurt I know German. It's dairy something. Oh, I don't know. That's true.
I'm going to learn how to say yogurt in German.
It's yogurt.
Aha!
I'm not pronouncing it right, but it's spelled with a J and not a Y.
Yogurt.
But it's pronounced like a Y.
Gogurt.
J, that's the one in the tube.
That's gross. Gogurts
were so bomb. Well, I used to freeze them. So it was just frozen yogurt. That was such a 90s thing. J-O-G-H-U-R-T. Care if I do this.
Yogurt.
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 So maybe it wasn't that.
I mean, it's just, that's my only thing with it, is it does make me think of yogurt. But like, I feel like he would have spelled it.
He would have had to know German. English. Yeah.
Yeah. Which maybe he did. We don't know.
Yeah. And then just for context, if read upside down, the way that he wrote it, like in his handwriting and everything, flip it upside down, it read 027,906.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean anything. Because you don't start like...
All numbers have meaning.
No, but like, yeah, if
it's not significant in any way.
Right. There would have to be like a one in there for there to be a comma for it to be an actual number, you know?
Right.
And then we have one more theory regarding the note, but we're going to wait to talk about it because there was like a lot involved in it.
Sorry, wait. Was the written the regular way? There was an apostrophe?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Y-O-G apostrophe. T-Z-E.
Got it.
Or Y-O-6. Like the, I'll post a picture of the note.
Yeah.
Or what we think is the note whenever I post our pictures. And it looks like it could be written either, like read either way, like Y-O-6 or Y-O-G. Like it really could be.
Yeah.
So the next theory involves like what the fuck was Gunther doing is a drug deal.
So in this episode called What the Fuck Was Gunther?
Right. There's so many theories. Like, this one was like, you don't know where to begin, number one, as far as theories go. And number two, like, what actually was happening? What was he doing? And could his paranoia have escalated to this point where it can be chalked up to just the paranoia?
Totally possible.
It's possible.
But it like, sounds like that's a jump, though.
So many other things involved. Like, he passes out in the freaking bar, and then he shows up at this lady's doorstep. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it could all be, like, go right back to it. But then he's hit by a freaking car who doesn't call the... They don't call the police or anything or try to save his life.
Right.
Because obviously it was an accident, and obviously, like, if you see someone running naked on a road and you accidentally hit them, like, it's not your fault.
Right.
There's no, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Like, why would they just throw him in the passenger seat and leave him?
Yeah.
Is what the biggest like mystery about it is. If people weren't really following him, if he really was just paranoid and had mental health issues, why?
Someone would have called the police to be like, there's a man behaving
The only
erratically.
Reason they wouldn't would probably be because if they were drunk driving or something along those lines, I guess.
If they were doing something illegal in some way.
Right.
Maybe they robbed him of his clothes.
Right. Right. No, he was, so they said, no, he took his clothes off.
Oh.
I guess maybe his clothes were found in the car or somewhere near the scene.
Yeah.
Or not found ever, actually. But they took his clothes off he took his clothes off and then he like rolled around in dirt and leaves and then was hit by a car. Or was hit by a car and like rolled around in the dirt and leaves after.
I just keep picturing the second Thor movie when the scientist is like running around Stonehenge with like electronic equipment and no clothes on.
Yeah.
They're like, what is happening?
Yeah, what are they doing? So there was speculation that Gunther might, at some point, might have been trying to set up a drug buy, like a drug deal. Mm-hmm. There were rumors that he was connected to drug peddlers in the Netherlands, which, as we I guess I should have just waited for this to tell you where the countries are. But we know now that the Netherlands is like northwest of Germany, right above Belgium. And right by whatever body of water is right there, because there is a body of water. There's no more land. It's a body of water. I don't know. Just don't ask me, because I don't.
Well, because the English Channel.
Okay, hold on. You know what I'm looking.
Is the Atlantic? I think it's the Atlantic. Unless there's like another sea.
Okay. The North Sea.
Oh.
Yeah.
Technically, just to defend our not knowing of geography, is technically there's only one ocean. Just one.
Yeah.
It's ginormous.
Yep.
We just like to give it weird names at certain
Well, times. I think that there are, okay, so.
Well, their seas are different.
Sidebar. I think that oceans are separated and they're considered separate oceans because there's.
The currents are different.
Right. And I want to say there's something about like the terrain of the underground that makes it an ocean. And so they're separated by seas and.
Like trenches and stuff.
I don't really know though. I could just be bullshitting that whole.
Well, I mean, if you ever look, have you ever looked at those pictures of the Arctic Ocean and that they are two oceans that sit like this, but they never mix, and they look different.
The currents just like go beside each other, right?
I've looked at the science and I could tell you, but I'd have to look it up again because I don't remember. But they literally look like one's blue and one's black. Like, and they just, and they meet, but they don't do this.
Mix. It's so
Which
weird.
I think they do. Or
some.
Something. I don't, yeah.
Like, maybe a little bit, but not like.
Yeah. No one quote me on any of that. I just know it exists.
Yeah. We are not geography teachers. Please do not set your children down to listen to us.
But I do love science, so I will look it up and correct myself later.
Okay.
If I remember, I probably won't, but if I do, I will.
So a drug deal gone bad is a very easy answer to Gunther's death.
Yeah.
But we don't, I mean, who knows? I mean, there's not a lot of evidence behind it. There's never been any like formal connection and the drug dealers have never come forward, obviously. I mean,
why would you?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think that we can probably shelf that one.
Yeah.
And unless like more information comes forward.
Plus, that's not what a person with paranoia should be doing.
No.
Maybe weed.
Yeah, weed.
But like, I feel like weed deals, unless they're dealing, you know, a ton.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say they're not that murdery, but there's a whole documentary about Murder Mountain, which is like about weed. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to take all of that, everything I just said back. Forget it.
Especially back then, we don't, like, it was really hard to find, not find, but like, I don't know. There were heavy, heavy, heavy fines and consequences.
Yeah. Was it legal in the Netherlands at that point?
I don't know. It probably was. I mean, Amsterdam, I think, never outlawed weed. So
they
maybe.
Just never outlawed it.
I don't know, though. I'm not also not like I know
we don't
nothing.
Know anything.
I literally know nothing. The only thing I researched was this okay. mystery. This is all I'm an expert on is the mystery itself, nothing else. Could it have been a food engineering secret? Like, did he uncover a top secret food engineering whatever?
He knows what's in the hot dogs. Ugh.
Yeah. Did he know about someone engaging in a secret project related to food engineering? And if so, did he confront them? Because if he did that, he'd likely be a security risk for the project. If he was like, oh man, or if he worked on the project and then he again,
you can't serve human meat, mechanically separated human meat,
GMO human meat. So if he confronted them, he would have been a security risk. And if the note he wrote was encrypted, he likely scribbled it out so his wife wasn't a potential target because he scribbled it out before he jumped up and left for the bar,
right?
He could have also gone to the bar after scribbling the note out and stuff. Like, oh, he's figured it out. He goes to the bar for a drink, just to like chill the fuck out and like get away for a minute. And he's there's four men there that are following him, and he knows,
right?
Oh, you know, he sees them right before he takes a sip, and knowing his fate, knowing that they were going to try and kill him and stuff because of the top secret project, like he maybe recognized them as like assassins or something, and he fainted and hit his head.
Or he feigned.
Then he woke up, left, and like all the events play out as they play out. Like he was being chased around for a bit, and then he ended up in his hometown, went to his old neighbor's house. It was like knocking on the door, like, you have to help me. Like there are men following me. Like they're right here. She dismisses it, and then he gets back in his car and is driving around, and then boom, he's like run off the road or something.
Yeah.
He gets out of the car. They see that he's still alive. You know, it all plays out like a movie. They see that he's still alive. He, for some reason, takes off his clothes. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's trying to camouflage himself. Takes off his clothes, mm-hmm. rolls around in the dirt, gets some leaves stuck to him, is hiding.
In the woods.
And then he's like, okay, the coast is clear. I haven't heard them for an hour. So he gets up, starts running back to his car that's been wrecked, and they notice him running. They speed up. They, boom, hit him.
Yep.
And kill him. And then they throw him in the passenger seat, and that's the people, that's the guy that the truck drivers see. It's like the last guy.
It sounds so unlikely that that's the theory, but that's the one that makes the most sense.
Right? Like that, I like that one for us.
I do too, just for us. It's definitely not what happened. But
no.
I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know much about paranoia, like besides me being paranoid,
right,
about murderers, but that's just not clinical paranoia. To a sense that it kind of sounds like it went from like not mild, but not super severe. And then in one night, if mental illness is the theory we'll go with for the moment, and saying it was just his paranoia and that led him to getting hit by a car, and then the person panicked and didn't want to get caught, so it was a hit and run and whatever. Maybe, it just sounds like that's such a jump from somewhat mild, like he just says they and has,
right,
you know, more.
I feel like it definitely escalated this night. So maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe something did happen where his wife was like, listen, this is getting a bit much. And he knew the pressure was on himself to like prove that he's not losing it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I say that like with a gentle heart, like to prove that he's not losing it. And to his wife, because his wife was like, you need to get some help. You need to get some help. You need to get some help. And so he's feeling that pressure. He just lost his job. They're going through financial issues. And he's like, nope, I got to prove it. I got to prove it. So like he sets out that night. He's like, I know what I have to do. You know, remember he exclaims that. And he sets out that night to try to prove I'm not crazy. Something is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like another explanation. After Gunther crashes his car, he runs out on the road. He's hit by a car. And the people that hit him hide their car. They run back, put him in his car, and that's who the truck driver sees, which we kind of discussed that a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And then another thought that I had was, did the truck drivers kill him?
Ooh.
Like.
But why would they call the police?
You maybe notice someone behind him, right?
Yeah.
So he's driving on the Autobahn. He notices someone behind him, maybe following him. So he starts to cause a scene. He maybe like stops in the middle of the road, gets out of his car to confront them, is screaming and yelling. And so if one truck driver is coming one way, the other's coming the other way, maybe the one coming this way doesn't, he's confronting the one that was behind him.
Yeah.
The one that's coming in from the opposite direction, he doesn't notice. And the truck driver doesn't notice what's happening or what's going on. It's late at night. It's almost 3 a.m. And he's just driving on the highway, you know? It's just, you get locked into like autopilot or something where you're just like, okay, I'm driving. So there's this weird scene playing out and he doesn't see it. And he like comes barreling out of nowhere and hits Gunther.
Right.
After he hits Gunther, they're like, well, what do we do? This guy was causing a scene. It's not our fault. It's going to come back on us. We could lose our jobs because we hit somebody and this is what we do for a living. And we don't want this on our record.
Yeah.
So he like, the other guy was like, yeah, well, he was acting insane. So let's just throw him in his car where his car's at. We'll just throw him in there. And then we'll make up a fictional character because the police will have to investigate that. Right. The police will have to look into that. So we both say that there's a fictional character. Okay. I'm going to drive up and call the police. You finish up. Done.
Yeah. But why would they call the police is my only.
Maybe, I mean, obviously GPS wasn't a thing back then, but maybe like.
Because if they just drove away, they probably never would have been caught.
Right. That's true. That's true.
It's not like now where we can ping cell phones and, you know, every move is being tracked by your phone. And if you don't think so, you're dumb.
All right. So let's move on to our last theory, which is the fun one.
It's yogurt.
So it comes into.
It was an owl. An owl did it.
This one has a side mystery in it, which I found while I was trying to research this mystery or this theory.
Go ahead.
Okay. So some reports claim that Y06TZE is a call sign for a Romanian radio station. Okay. Now, I couldn't find anything solid on it, but what I did find was a side mystery about a Romanian radio station, MDZ, lowercase h, B.
Okay.
It's been broadcasting a dull, monotonous tone since 1982, which is what you're hearing now. Every few seconds, it's joined by a second sound, which is it sounds like a ghost ship or a foghorn or something.
Yeah.
So once or twice a week, a man or a woman will read out some words in Russian, such as dinghy, D-I-N-G-H-Y, or farming specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of has to do with food engineering.
Yeah.
Anyway, anyone, anywhere can listen to it simply by tuning into the frequency 4625KHZ. No one has ever claimed to run the station, and it's thought to be broadcast from a remote field near St. Petersburg, which in this remote field, there's a cluster of radio towers and abandoned buildings behind an iron gate. The signal began broadcasting at the end of the Cold War and when communism was declining. Oh, that's when communism was declining in the decline. Yeah. Today it's transmitted from two locations, the St. Petersburg site and a location near Moscow. The frequency is thought to belong to the Russian military, but they've never admitted to it. So
why would they?
Right. So coming up here, this is a recording of it and there's a discrepancy. And then it just kind of goes staticky for a little bit. So it's just like this weird static. And then I'm going to hop ahead a bit. And then it starts going back into the normal tone and everything. Like nothing
else
changes.
It was like dead air for a second.
Yeah. But which was like an anomaly from, they call it the buzzer affectionately. The radio station, they call it the buzzer because it sounds like it's just buzzing, you know?
Yeah.
So they, this recording is from July 25th, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Where it just goes into. Like,
so it's still doing it. To this day.
Oh, yeah. And you can listen to it if you turn into that one thing that I just said, which I don't know how to do it.
I was like, I think we would need like an old school radio to figure that out.
Other theories include keeping in touch with submarines, like maybe they were trying to keep in touch with submarines, or communicating with aliens. Like maybe they're talking to aliens through it. Another theory says
it would be the Russians with their space program.
Another theory says that it's warding off a nuclear war between the U.S. and Russia. Because remember, this is the Cold War. There was a lot of fear that Russia and the United States would go into a nuclear battle.
Gotcha.
Which no one in the world would survive that.
Yeah, never.
So, I mean, that was just like a weird
I think it's theory. A recording of the Upside Down.
Right? No, I mean, no one's ever admitted to like running the station or being behind it, but somehow it's still running. And who are these people, these weird Russian people saying weird words or saying like different terms and right. stuff like that? So maybe like, I don't think that it feeds into the Gunther mystery, but.
What if it's just in a real, like really elaborate prank?
Yeah. It could be.
But like you have to pay money for electricity, for wherever it's coming from.
Right.
It's coming from an area that's close by two major cities.
Right.
I think it could be military. I don't know.
So I don't think that Gunther was trying to write down this Romanian radio station. It is interesting that it's like, if it was a 6 instead of a G, that it was the exact call sign for a Romanian radio station.
Yeah.
I do find that interesting because that's the only thing that, like, actually fits. Like, oh, this is it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, fits perfectly into it, but also, like, doesn't fit at all because of the awkwardness of, like, it's Romania and it has nothing to do with. I mean, I tried to find the Romanian radio station and maybe like, oh, what did they play in the 80s or what did they do in the 80s? But I could find nothing except for that side, like that little mystery from the another Romanian radio station, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Strange.
Yeah. So I think that like the likely theory for Gunther is that...
He's a Demogorgon.
I don't even know because I want to say that I want to say in my heart of hearts, it's leading me towards his mental illness was at a breaking point and that he was hit by a drunk driver and placed back in his car because they didn't want to be caught for hitting someone, like drunkenly hitting someone.
Yeah.
However, I'm worried about. I have like that thing where I always jump to mental illness and I try to like be, what is it called? I try to see things evenly on both sides and I try not to side on the mental illness was the cause. Mental illness was the cause, you know, or the reason that it all happened. I try to like say, okay, or find the line in between. But in this case, like, it's kind of, like, all of the clues are leading to the mental illness.
Yeah.
And sometimes the likely theory is the most obvious theory.
Yeah. I think I could also see it being the mental illness, maybe mixed with... I feel like it escalated because he had these new stresses of he lost his job. Probably financial issues. His wife was saying, you need help. You need to go do this. That is a lot of pressure. And I think like, so his reality, putting that pressure against him with that mental illness is probably, if he cracked, I think that's, I hate saying it. I shouldn't say it like that. If he, you know, was at
reached his
breaking point, then that might've been the cause of his mental illness. And maybe there was somebody he thought was falling, you know, maybe someone was, what if someone from the bar was following him because he just passed out on his face and they were concerned and wanted to make sure he was okay.
Yeah.
You know, and then that made him more, you know, that escalated his paranoia or.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. I don't really like just going with the mental illness theory, but it just seems the most likely.
In this instance or in
and
this.
And I have a firm belief that a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people with mental illness to those extents, because I think we all have it to some degree in some way, is they have like a higher understanding.
Yeah.
Of what the world is about or what's happening in the world. So like, I don't, if you've ever had a conversation with even just a homeless person, I've had conversations and I'm like, wow, you're really enlightened.
Right.
That's why you're homeless, because you know too much. So it makes you kind of reject the social norms of what we think reality should be, because you have this higher understanding of what's going on. So
yes,
he could have had a premonition and then wrote that, and yeah, maybe that was a license plate from a different country or something, and he, or maybe the answer is played on that radio station, or maybe, you know, like maybe,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yep. Tis a mystery.
It really is. It's fascinating.
If you or someone you know has information about Gunther's death, I didn't find that the police had an open investigation on it or which police department it lied. So please feel free to email us at MrReticle@gmail.com and follow us at MrReticle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts and tell all your friends about us. And don't play with strangers.
And don't trust your government.
Don't genetically engineer your crops. Like, make up another, you know, they did one that was like, oh, let's go hide behind all those chainsaws. And then all like, they all run behind the chainsaws. And she's like, what about this running car? And they're like, no, no, no.